of Cthulhu presents Terror from the Skies by Colin Hart, a Whitby vampire.
Okay, so last session, we left it with Major Barker, Dr. Worthington, Mr. Harrow, and Mr. Krieg in a bit of a pickle. And we will leave them there for the moment. So last session ended, it would have been right around, let's say, 7 in the evening.
Okay.
We'll back up in time just a little bit to Miss Brown and Professor Cromworth, who are at the hotel and who have been at the hotel all day. So the last that you guys, the two of you remember is in the early afternoon, Major Barker had attempted to rent a couple automobiles and did so only to find that they both broke down very quickly. Had some choice words for the quality of services here in Whitby. And then he and the other three stormed off to visit, in a fit of rage, stormed off to visit the library.
Okay.
And that would have been, you know, around 1 or so. They have not been back since.
Okay. And it's now 2 or 3 in the afternoon or something. We're getting concerned about them, perhaps. But surprised they haven't come back.
It's now dinner time.
Oh, it's dinner time. Okay.
So, you know.
Well, the library will be closed by now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder why they're not back. And the car rental was because they were planning to go up to the town to talk to the next potential, the guy we think is the next victim.
Correct. They were trying, okay. They were trying to get to Oogthorpe.
Oogthorpe, yeah.
Before the bus.
And
right. And the bus is tomorrow because we missed the bus today.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I wonder if we should walk down to the library and see if maybe they're doing something there, if we should just have dinner and wait for them to come back. I would have expected them here for dinner, but...
I think we should go and walk to the library and just check out the library and see whether they've just somehow...
found a cafe allowed, next to it?
Or allowed themselves to stay late.
Ah, that's true. They, you know, I bet, knowing the four of them, that there's a bar across the street from the library...
Yeah.
And they are in there drinking.
Drinking.
I'm sorry. Don't lump us in with the American police.
Let's go. We'll go. Sure. We'll go down to the library to see if there's anybody at the library, and if not, we'll look around for the nearest bar.
Okay. As you wander, you make your way towards the library. Can I get a couple spot hidden rolls?
Yeah.
Spot hidden.
That is not going to succeed.
Oh, 92.
Okay, it's not going to fail that badly, but it's not going to succeed.
Okay, no problem. So you make your way to the Whitby Library, and yes, it is indeed closed.
Okay. All right.
Can we see a bar nearby?
No.
Okay. What is there any... Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Is what is nearby?
A couple civic buildings, some blocks of flats.
Okay, and how big is this library? Is this like a little one room deal, or is this a?
It is a.
Sure.
It's a medium sized library. You know, it's not. It's not huge. You've certainly seen bigger, but it's not.
But like 2 stories.
Yeah, just a decent sized building.
Okay. All right. I'm just wondering what the chances are if we knock on the, you know, that there'll be some custodian or something. I'll go up and knock on the door of the library and see if anyone comes out.
Okay. Very clearly, obviously, the door is locked.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no lights, and there's no movement, and there's no sound, and there's no response.
How far are we from, say, the near the seafront?
Not very. I mean, the entire town is on the seafront, right? So you're not.
No, I mean,
Just a few minutes.
The port in walking distance.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes.
Well, you know, there's bars down near the port. They call them pubs here. So maybe we should check one out there and see if they'd seen them.
You know, and I would also be interested in talking to some of the sailors about the dolphins. Oh. I mean, the seals.
Yeah, and one of the guys who got killed was a sailor himself.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Okay, we'll head down. We'll head down to the pub near the docks.
Okay. So you make your way down to the harbor. It looks like most of the fishing boats have come in by now. It is, after dusk. There's still some activity on some of the boats. People, bringing in their catch and dealing with the securing the gear and the boats themselves and making their way up into the city. There are a couple pubs. There's one particularly large kind of center one that looks to be kind of the largest, biggest one, which is called something that I forget.
Oh, that's a great name. I drink to forget.
Yep, that's the one. The something Anchor. The Anchor.
Much less original than Something to Forget.
Yes, I agree.
Does it look busy?
It looks pretty busy, yeah.
What day of the week are we on?
It is Thursday, the 20th of June.
We'll head to that one, I think.
Okay. You get some eyes on you. People are not really that used to young women coming into the Anchor. It's a little unusual. But it is, kind of a rough play. Not rough like fights are breaking out every 5 minutes, but, these are definitely working class men. Kind of raucous, kind of bowdy. A lot of conversation, which dulls for just a minute as the two of you walk in, a young woman and an old man. Not the usual clientele, but then they just kind of dismiss you very quickly and go back to the drinking.
Professor, perhaps you could, be doing some research and then talk to some folks. And I'll take notes for you or something.
Sounds good.
If we get any information.
Well, I'll walk up to the bar itself. And what was the guy's name?
The dead guy?
Yeah.
The Mr. Dead Guy. Nice.
The dead fisherman?
Yeah, the dead fisherman.
Gabriel Ward.
Thank you, Gabriel Ward. I'll wander up to the bar and go and motion over the barkeep.
Young lady. Can I do for you?
Good evening. We're interested in a few drinks.
Certainly. He kind of looks over Mrs. Brown with the eye. Very clearly is, trying to dismiss Professor Cromworth. Have a seat. Molly will be right over.
Well, I'm sure Professor will return the favor when Molly comes over.
He indicates a small table kind of off over in the corner.
Okay, I'll go and sit down.
Okay. Not long after you do, a woman comes up. She's, dressed as a barmaid, waitress kind of thing. Good evening. What can I do for you?
I'll have a pint of your ale and get the lady. What would you like?
Maybe some wine. Could you choose something?
Wine. Oh, are you in the wrong place for that, honey?
I will say
highball, something. Remember what we do in 19? Yeah.
Whiskey.
Sure.
Whiskey with lots of water. Got it.
I've also got a couple of questions for you.
I'm a little busy at the moment, but what can I do for you?
Well, there'll be some little bit of money if you can help out, but we're looking for some gentlemen. They may have come in here tonight. I don't know. Ask questions about the murders. The vampire murders.
Yeah, the old guy, the soldier, and there were like an American and a German, and yeah, I remember them. Wasn't too long ago.
Oh, not long ago. Okay. When did they leave?
Oh, maybe half an hour ago, an hour ago.
Do you know where they were headed?
Just after I was getting off shift. No, I don't.
Were they soused?
Yeah, one of them looked like he had been drinking pretty heavily, the American, but... No, the major especially. He looked stone sober.
Interesting.
Okay. Thank you. So they were here and they came asking questions. So you have no idea where they were heading?
No, I'm afraid I don't. They just asked something. They just asked some stuff about Port Gabriel and took off. They wanted to see about the. They asked about the murder that I witnessed a few days ago too. But that was it.
You witnessed one of the murders.
Well, yeah, close enough. Saw a window being broken, and she kind of shivers a little bit.
Oh, by that spooky, fuzzy black thing, huh?
Invisible vampires is crazy. Crazy.
Oh, so you just saw the window shatter and didn't see any creatures.
No, I didn't see anyone actually climbing in, just the window. And I don't know how anyone could have climbed that wall.
Wow, that must have been very unpleasant. Where was this?
On Cleveland, just around the corner here. Not far.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much. I'll give her money for the drinks, and I'll give her a little bit as well for her help.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for your help, and hopefully we can catch up with our friends, because we were trying to find them. Do you know which direction they went?
No, I wasn't paying any attention.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
Third time, not a charm. Professor, it seems that if there's one thing they like more than a drink, it would have been going to look at this house on Cleveland Street. Perhaps we should buckle after them. After our drink, of course.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should go to the house on Cleveland Street after we finish here.
Now, do we happen to recall or know which... victim this was or when?
Yes, you do, because it's one of the ones that you have a newspaper clipping about.
Excellent.
Specifically the clipping from the Whitby Gazette. The Whitby Gazette June 17th article.
Okay.
Describes the murder of a Mr. Mason, Stephen Mason.
Stephen Mason.
Yeah, there's no way they could have not gone after that.
Well, the other thing is we're near the docks as well, in the harbour, and that the sailor one had, I can't remember his name for some reason, he keeps on, Gabriel Ward.
Oh, Gabriel Ward, yeah.
Yeah, he would have a boat out there as well.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
But I don't think we've got any information about his boat, do we? No. But yeah, I think let's go and have a look at... Stephen Mason's house.
All right.
After we've had our drink, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. You finish your drink and
make
your way to Cleveland Terrace.
Yep.
Where there is a fire escape leading up.
As you look at the building on Cleveland Terrace, and it's a tall, multi-story. Building, cut into flats. Looking at it from the front, you don't particularly see anything, interesting. As you kind of walk, make your way around the building, there is an alley in back. You look up and you see on the third floor, there is a window missing that's been, you know, covered with plywood. So very clearly that's the one that was broken. And as you look at it, you know, you yourself kind of wonder how anyone could have gotten up there because this wall is just completely featureless.
So it's found in an upstairs. Oh, that's interesting. Stephen Mason was found in an upstairs back bedroom next to a fire escape.
And there's no fire escape?
And there is no fire escape.
Oh. Well, the Whitby Gazette is obviously as bad as the Whitby car rental place. It must be that guy, that young reporter.
Do you think he's lying to cover something up?
He must be. But that would be a weird thing to lie about. I mean, so obviously untrue. Maybe he just didn't bother.
Frighten people because it really points out the whole vampire thing.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he didn't bother coming to the murder scene. Well, do you think there's a chance we can walk in the front door and see if we get into the flat at all?
Well, you can try the front door if you wish.
All right. We'll walk back around to the front. And is there like it wouldn't be a bellboy, but a person there? Or is it just a door and each flat would have its own locked key?
Correct. It's just a door. You can go in. You know, there's a hallway, some stairs, two other hallways on each floor, and then the individual flats.
All right. Well, let's go up to the flat we think is the flat.
Okay.
Yep.
You do.
And try the door.
It's locked.
All right. Well, we'll see if I can make that less true.
I don't know if they used it in small villages in England at the time, but. If this were a slightly more modern scenario, there would be police tape across the door. You know, do not enter. That sort of thing.
Okay. Well, we'll put that back when we're done. No. So if we want in, we would have to do some something noisy.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I mean, we're really trying to...
They're not here.
They're not here.
Okay. All right. Carry on. We'll continue on.
Well, actually, we've got a list of addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the general entry? We've got a list of addresses, so why don't we check out a couple of these addresses because they could have gone to them.
Yeah, it's either that or Ward's boat, or we could go have some dinner.
Because you got Gabriel Ward at Henrietta Street.
Is that near here?
It's not far from the harbor.
Okay.
You know, 10 minutes walk. So, from where you are, you know, maybe 15 minutes walk total. Not far at all.
Well, I do have a special fondness for Henrietta Street.
Would that be the closest place to us, to where we are, compared to the others? Michael Green's Wellington Terrace.
Yeah, 6 of 1, half dozen of the other.
Okay. What do you think, Henrietta?
Well, that's a nice evening for a walk. It does seem which one do you think our friends would have been more likely to go to?
I'll let you choose. Which one do you want to go
to? I think the waterfront. I feel like we've had a lot of time to look at houses that are boarded up and doesn't seem particularly likely to have, I think, a little fascination with the sea. Let's go see if we can find this boat.
Okay, so we'll go to the boat. See if we can find this boat first.
Okay.
But we don't actually have a name of the boat, so we wouldn't know which one it is.
Well, we'd have to ask around on the dock.
Are there people down at the dock?
Yep.
We'll head down to the docks and check out.
Okay. With that, we will actually pause you for a moment, and we will switch back to the others.
I've been just sitting on the edge of my seat here, Jim.
So the four of you have all been grabbed and are being dragged. There's multiple, there were a lot of them, right? So these things have all grabbed you and, they're grabbing, they're pulling, they're dragging, it's just mad chaos. I presume that all of you, except for Major Barker, would want to struggle against this.
Yes.
Okay. I figured as much. Dr. Worthington, what's your strength again?
13.
You may have a 45% chance to break away.
That's a success with a 14.
Okay. Mr. Harrow.
Harrow had the same as me, I think.
Yep, I will roll for him, and I will roll a 46, so he
fails.
Mr. Krieg, what is your strength?
7.
You may have a 20% chance to break away.
Yay.
84.
Okay. So, Dr. Worthington, you know, as you're struggling madly, you know, you're able to extract yourself from their talons, and you kind of fall, and you fall on the beach into the sand, and they basically just ignore you. They leave you there as you can, you know, kind of look up, you brush the sand out of your eyes and your hair, and you know, oh my God, what's going on? And you see this, you know, large troop of whatever these things are, drag an unconscious Major Barker, a struggling Mr. Harrow, and a struggling Mr. Krieg into the surf and out to sea.
Oh, help! Help!
No. Oh my God!
And we will stay with Dr. Worthington for the moment.
So he would just kind of like shake his head a couple times in disbelief. And I guess pick up his things that were dropped, like his gun and his doctor's bag from in the house.
Yeah, all the everyone's guns were dropped, and you know, everything that people were carrying is kind of scattered along the path from the house down.
Okay, so I'll pick up everyone's stuff and mine and kind of shove it in my bag and or carry it as like Mr. Harrow's rifle, which I'm sure won't fit in my doctor's bag.
Probably not.
It's not an extra dimensional space, so, you know. I will hurriedly make my way back towards the hotel.
Okay.
Doctor, don't leave me here!
It's too late.
as you make your way towards the hotel, of course, you have to, you kind of skirt past the harbor. Make a luck roll.
The doctor is not so lucky. 81. That's a fail.
Professor Cromworth and Miss Brown, would you both make spot hidden rolls?
Yep.
Okay, spot hidden
roll.
24. That's 37.
Pass. As you are headed out, you know, kind of wandering around the docks, you know, asking after Gabriel Ward's boat. Which you do find out is called the Merman. People are, you know, willing to share that information with you. You see walking, you know, on the shore, kind of past the docks, in the general direction of the hotel, a rather bedraggled-looking man who seems to remind you of Dr. Worthington, except he's carrying a bunch of stuff.
I'll call out, Dr. Worthington. Is that you?
I'll look over in their direction, and if I notice that it's the professor and Miss Brown, yeah, I'll hurriedly make my way over there to them. So, oh my God! Oh my! The frogmen, they've taken.
What?
No. We follow me, and then I'll just kind of head them back towards the house there, okay. Towards Gabriel Ward's house.
Oh, okay. So, I'll
follow. What's going on?
We were investigating Gabriel Ward's house, and these frogmen, they just swarmed the house and took the others. I managed to get away, but they took them into the ocean.
Frogmen, like, I don't even know if that was a term back then, like
they soldiers? looked like frog men, like man-sized frogs.
You don't mean like naval soldiers, you mean oh.
With sharp, pointy teeth.
Yes, with sharp, pointy teeth.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll lead them back to the house to kind of investigate further, since we didn't have much time to do that before.
Do you think they'll be back?
I don't know, but I'll show you I'm sure there's still a bunch of footprints out in the sand, Jim.
Yes. There is quite a disturbance.
Okay, look. So the footprints are leading into the water?
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder if these are the creatures that threw me back. But why did they take them?
I don't know. Maybe you were too old, Professor.
and they took the major?
They took the major, Mr. Krieg, and Mr. Harrow.
He's older than me. Oh, by the way, Jim, just as an aside, my loss of con, I lost 1 point of con the other session. Is that back?
Let's see. Let me look back. When did you lose that?
That's when I fell into the water.
Which I think was yesterday, right? Was Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you would have that back by now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I guess I would want to search around the house a little bit more and see if we can find any clues. Maybe why...
Yeah, what were you doing when they came? Had you gone into the house, or were you just...
Yes, we had just gone into the house, and we were looking around. Didn't really find much, and then these creatures just busted in from every door and just carted us off towards the ocean. I was able to beat my way away from them, but...
What have you done before that? What do you think triggered it? How did they get called to the house? Or to you?
Before that, we had visited the ship, and we were just... checking out Gabriel Ward's ship.
And his boat, okay.
Yes, his boat. There wasn't much there, and then we also visited the outside of the Stephen Mason murder. Found out that there was no fire escape there, but other than that, I don't see what we could have done. Like, we came straight here, we walked here, and went in the house, and these monsters appeared and snatched everybody.
Did any of the other characters drop their weapons?
Everyone did, yeah.
You
picked them up. Can I grab one of the guns?
What we should do? Yeah. What?
We should try to get a boat to take us out, you know, where we've seen the seals, because that's probably the area where they've been taken.
Or see if there's, like, any cave structures around here that are known. I don't know. Yeah, why not? Let's go, so did the major happen to drop his wallet?
I've got money.
You'll be our sugar daddy tonight, Professor?
I will.
All right.
He's always my sugar daddy.
Yes, I pay her away.
All right. Well, then I guess we could maybe try and persuade someone to take us out tonight, but I don't know how much good that would. I mean, it's what we should do. But
do we want to look around this house first, or did you guys think that was worthwhile?
No, we should take a look around the house.
And we should definitely have some dinner at some point.
A quick look. Well, our friends are missing. I think a quick look of this house, and then we should try to get out into the sea to see whether we can find the major and the others.
Right. The longer we wait, the further they get away, or closer to being eaten they get.
Exactly. We don't know what these frog things eat.
The further away they are, that seems like a good thing. The safer we are.
So the word house is you know, as you left it just a few minutes ago, Dr. Worthington. You know, things are a little more upset and tipped over. Clearly, there's been a commotion, but that's about it.
And I remember that we were attempting to look for any secret hiding places before, but
you had successfully not found any.
Successfully not found any. All right. Well, after a little bit of searching, if we don't find anything of interest,
we head back to the
fisherman's pub or the dock. Why don't we head to the dock and see if there's anyone there that might be willing to take us out.
Yep.
Okay.
We've heard about such wonderful late-night fishing out here.
There are plenty of people who would be willing to take you out in the morning, but no one who is willing to take you out at night.
Do they seem more scared or more like it's the end of the day and I'm going to get a drink?
Mostly like it's the... Well, make a psychology roll.
You tell me whatever 17. You want.
Fail, 71.
Yeah.
What's my psychology? I failed as well. 70.
It's the end of the day. You tourists are annoying me.
Can I put with one of them, I'll say, would 5 pounds convince you?
It's been a long day.
About 10.
Why is it that you outsiders always think you can come to a nice little town like Whitby and just buy everyone off? Get out of here. He stalks off. Clearly insulted at your attempts to.
Is it not true that the seals were hanging around the end of a pier? I thought they were sort of...
Nope, that is correct.
That is correct, right? So we could walk out the pier.
Yep.
If we don't fall off and slide over the railing and stuff.
That is correct.
We'll head out then.
Okay. Yeah.
It is, you know, there are some lights lit at the end of the pier to, so you can see. You can hear the waves crashing underneath. There's not too many other people out here at night. Most people are gone in, but it's a pleasant summer evening.
Okay, so we safely make it to the end of the pier?
Yes.
And with a flashlight down in the water, do I see any critters?
Nope. Okay. You do not.
Do you see any frogmen anywhere?
You do not.
In the distance?
No, you do not.
Well, yeah. It seems that nobody wants us to travel today.
It looks like we're going to have to go out in the morning.
Yeah.
I hope it's not too late.
Well, I'm worried it'll be not only too late for our friends, but too late for to get to Ugthorpe.
Yes. Double
loss.
That's not
until 11 o'clock, isn't it?
Yeah, so we just have to go to bed and then wake up early.
We get here down to the docks early and do an investigation and then try to be back so we can get to Ugthorpe by 11. Get for the Ugthorpe bus.
It was 11 or 10:30, the Ugthorpe bus?
11.
11, okay. All right, so...
Do you think there's any way we could send a message? We should have done this hours ago, but to the man in Ugthorpe, telling him not to sleep at home?
We tried to get a message. Well, we tried to contact him on the phone, and the Ugthorpe operator said they had no listing for that person.
Oh, okay.
So
that means he doesn't have a phone.
Doesn't have a phone, or doesn't actually live there.
I was thinking about a telegram or something.
But I think that would take the same amount of time as if we us going there.
About, it might by now.
Just about, yeah, because it's already nighttime now. So I think maybe go get a couple. Excuse me. A couple hours of sleep, and then wake up and head down to the docks and try and get a boat to take us out and do a search for our friends.
So yeah, we should arrange that now. See if we can find somebody who. We should arrange that for a early morning.
Yeah, you can find someone who will take you out first thing in the morning.
All right, so we'll arrange to meet them.
Okay.
Meet them very early, first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And head back to the hotel and have some dinner.
That's not a problem. Dr. Worthington is able to, gets himself cleaned up and comfortable change of clothes. And have a nice, warm, cozy, delicious dinner at the hotel restaurant. And settle into your nice, warm, comfortable beds.
I'll also, before going to sleep, I will be cleaning out my shotgun and putting a couple of shells in it.
Okay.
Yeah, the doctor is like ridden with survivor's guilt right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I guess, so I only, let's see here. So I didn't try the powder, didn't have time to try the powder on these people. I'm guessing I would try and make another batch of this powder because we've now, most of the batches, well, half of the batches that we had were on the other people.
Yep. Remind me your chemistry?
Chemistry is no bueno. Pharmacy is 35.
Okay. You make a second batch.
Okay, so that's 16 more doses.
Yep.
In addition to the, I think, 2 that each of us have. So, okay, cool. And then Dr. Worthington will, after eating dinner, bid goodnight to the others and go try and sleep with his guilt-ridden conscience.
Okay, fair enough. With that, we will cut back to the others. So, Major Barker is still passed out, having fainted. Mr. Harrow has possibly fainted as well. Mr. Krieg, the only one left conscious. Yourself and the other two are dragged into the water by these creatures. And, you know, you can feel as soon... First of all, make a spot hidden roll.
Oh, 07.
As you're being dragged into the water, you're pretty sure that you see that Dr. Worthington has... managed to get away and has fallen into the sand and that they've left him behind. But you find yourself dragged into the water. It is very, very cold. And you can feel that as soon as these things get into the water, they start moving much, much faster than they were on land. And you can feel them, you know, holding on to your body. And apparently they're swimming, and they're swimming out to sea very rapidly. And they're holding you just enough so that your head is just above the waves. You know, every once in a while there's some salt spray breaking in your face and you're kind of coughing and spluttering and it's cold and quite frightening. Make a con by five roll.
Okay. I failed.
Okay, it is very cold. You may lose a point of con.
Okay.
As you start to shiver. Make a idea roll at half.
He thinks, this sucks.
I fail again.
Okay. You can tell that you are, so they go out to seas a ways, and then they turn and they're going along the coast. You can just see the coast in the darkness and the starlight and moonlight. But you don't. You're not entirely sure which direction from Whitby they turned and you're going. Okay. This goes on for a while. For long enough that you really kind of lose track of time. You don't know, how long it's going.
Yeah, more likely I'm already crying in desperation.
Probably. But after quite a while. You feel the things holding you pull on you and pull you under the water.
Okay, I try to take some air before going down.
And
breathe deeply.
You can feel yourself being dragged down. And yes, somebody's echoing again. And now they're not. You can feel yourself being dragged down. And down and down, and just as you are absolutely certain that you are, need to take a breath and you're going to drown and this is going to, you're going to die, you feel yourself kind of pop out into air, take a big gasping breath, and you look around and you can see laying next to you is Major Barker, who is just coming to, kind of coughing and sputtering.
Major! Are they still around, the frog creatures?
As you look up and you look around you, you can see that you're in, it appears to be some kind of cavern. It is, You know, there's kind of a glowing green light coming from the walls of this cavern. There are what appear to be some kind of carven pillars or something, you know, standing around. This place is clearly very, very old. And yes, there are a number of the horrible frog creatures with big teeth standing around.
Okay, I will get closer to the mayor if I'm allowed to.
Yeah, they
allow you to. Yeah, I will. I guess I will also drag Mr. Harrow and make sure that he's breathing.
He is, just.
Okay. So I will grab him towards the mayor. Mayor, they abandoned us, Mayor. The doctor, he ran away.
Do we have the mayor?
I thought I was still unconscious.
No, you're as you're being brought into this cavern, you come to. You are conscious now.
Oh. Is Sebastian sort of peering over me?
Yes.
I'll say, oh, good morning, Sebastian. What are you doing here?
Mayor, look around you, Mayor. Stop asking those dumb questions. I will shake him.
Oh. Oh, dear.
They took us under sea. We're in some sort of cave.
No, this is just some kind of bad dream. I'll be with you in a moment. Call me when it's time for breakfast.
I was slapping in the face. Wake up, Mayor! This is not a dream. What are the other creatures doing, by the way, Jim?
Well, I'm about to get to that. I have a question. I don't remember. I know that Mr. Harrow shot one. Did you shoot one, or that was that Dr. Worthington?
I shot one.
Okay.
And wounded it.
Right.
But I think Mr. Harrow, like, killed one.
Or at least as far as you know. Yeah.
Grievously injured it.
I didn't have a chance to get off any shots, did I?
Nope.
Just fainted straight away. Ooh, do I gain Cthulhu Mythos from Mythos-induced insanity?
Yes.
Hey. I mean, oh.
So as you guys are, you know, kind of looking around, scared, wondering what's going to happen, one of the creatures steps forward, and he raises a horribly kind of clawed, webbed, greenish, grayish hand, and points at Mr. Harrow, and he says, his mouth opens. You can hear, and he speaks, and he's speaking in English. You can just understand.
He says, "You have hurt one of us."
And as he says that, a couple of the creatures come forward, grab Mr. Harrow, drag him back to the water, and shove him, and are holding him under the water.
I will, try to grab him for a while.
They push you.
No,
away.
Let him go. You away. Let him go.
And he's under there, and they're holding him there. They're holding him there. And
stop this! Stop this!
His body starts to
first.
start to twitch and shake. And just as you're certain, well, he's drowned. He's gone. They yank him out, and he's coughing and sputtering and spitting up water, and they let him go.
Thank you. I will try to grab him and take it towards the mayor and stay there, the three of us.
The one who spoke previously looks around, looks at you kind of impassively.
One of you has killed one of us. We would know who.
Out of character, who was that? Was that actually Mr. Harrow?
The doctor. It was the doctor.
No. Nope. Yeah, that was Harrow.
Idea rolls.
I pass.
When they say you, they don't mean like one of you three. They mean you air breathers, you strange monkeys who live on land.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, they don't necessarily mean one of you three.
Well, we were attacked, so it wasn't self-defense. You would have done the same. We were coming here to shoot you.
He just kind of looks at you. What are you talking about?
One of you killed one of us. I
forgot my dates now, just a second. 4 nights ago, we would know who. Sorry, 2 nights ago. He says 2 nights ago, not 4 nights ago.
Bleh. I looked towards the mayor. He wasn't asked.
Talking
mayor.
About Gabriel Ward.
He was one of us.
We did see his body, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
He was, I ask.
Yes. His mother. One of you. Father, one of us. Who has killed him?
Well, that's what we were trying to find out. That's why we visited his house. We're trying to solve these murders. Can I do a persuade roll of some kind?
Solve them. Quickly, we would know who has killed him.
Well, the problem is that whoever killed him is not human. He's not one of us. He's some sort of vampire.
That's a good point. Let's explain what it was. We think it was some kind of invisible, blood-sucking creature. Do you know of anything like this?
We know of what you talk. Of what you speak, but it is summoned by one of you. It is called by one of you.
What is it called?
No, he means it is called. It is
invoked.
Okay. What is the thing that is summoned?
He says something in some horrible, guttural, burping, watery that you have no hope of ever understanding or pronouncing.
We call it blah blah blah. Blah.
Ah, awesome. Yes. Well,
you know how can we fight it if we run to him again?
How you can fight
the vampire creature?
Blah, 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 blah.
The creature is not our concern. However, there are dusts and powders that may be of use.
Yes, I think we have come across some of these. Why did you attack us when we were? If you wanted answers, why not just? Seems like an awful lot of misunderstanding could have been avoided.
He just looks at you.
Okay.
Find who killed us. Then call us so that we may deal with him.
How do we do that?
Call to the sea. We are always listening.
I see. Okay, well, we will continue our investigation. And we share the same goal here. I'm trying to convince this creature that I don't know if my understanding of psychology or
it's not so useful.
Humans is useful here, but
no.
Go and find him for us,
Mayor. I think if the others were also part of them, Jake Pearson, Alex Hunt, Michael Green, all those others.
Were any of the others?
No.
Of your kind.
Only Gabriel.
Do you have any suspicions of who may have caused this?
Yeah, he's as you ask that, his head kind of cocks a little bit, and if he was human, you would say he was thinking for a moment.
Gabriel once mentioned questions,
and he pauses.
Jenkins.
Yeah,
the journalist.
Questions. Yeah.
I don't have any concrete evidence, but I am starting to suspect him. I'm going to try and explain what a newspaper is, and explain that Jenkins is responsible for writing accounts of things that have happened, and the account he wrote of Was it Gabriel's murder? No, which one was it? Was it the Stephen Mason murder? With the fire escape?
Fire escape? Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like he's trying to cover up what happened. Yeah. I'd say if Gabriel was concerned about this Jenkins character, he obviously met him before he died.
Find him and call us, that we may have our revenge.
I'll turn to Mr. Krieg and say, well, that will solve two of our problems. How do we get back to Whitby?
We will take you to the surface.
Okay. Back to the coast of Whitby?
As he says that, a couple of the creatures grab you. Hmm. And pull you into the water, and you can feel yourself being pulled upward, and it is kind of a long swim. You were apparently quite deep underwater, but eventually you kind of break the surface, gasp for breath a little bit, and they drag you up on a beach and walk back off into the water. And as you're looking around, dawn light is just breaking, and wherever it is that you are very clearly not in Whitby.
Good God.
But you can see just in the pre-dawn light, you can see a small fishing village not far from where you were tossed up on the beach.
All right.
And with that, we will cut back to the others.
Let's get walking.
Dr. Worthington, Professor Cromworth, Miss Brown, who are enjoying a comfortable night's sleep. Cozy, warm, lovely hotel. Would all three of you make luck rolls?
All right.
86. That would be a fail.
74. That's a fail.
55 is a pass.
Okay. Professor Cromworth, how much did you fail by?
16.
And Dr. Worthington, how much did you fail by?
34.
Okay. Dr. Worthington, as you are sleeping in your cozy, warm, lovely bed, suddenly you are awakened by the sound of breaking glass.
Oh, no.
As you look up and you see not just the window, but the entire window frame, the whole thing, comes shattering inwards with quite a loud crack.
Immediately reach for the dust.
Professor Cromworth and Miss Brown, would you both make POW times 5 rolls?
Thirty-three success.
Passed by one, I think.
Okay.
Almost.
As the two of you are sleeping in your comfortable bed, from one of the rooms nearby, you hear a large, loud crashing sound.
I'll jump out of bed.
I'll jump out of bed and grab my shotgun, which was by the side of the bed, and head out and head towards the room.
Dr. Worthington, what's your dex?
My dex is 15.
Okay. Okay. So you look up, you see the window shattering inwards, and you see nothing else.
I go immediately for the powder.
Okay.
And I'll just start throwing it around the room.
Okay, now are you just randomly grabbing at the powder, or are you grabbing the powder from the first batch, or are you grabbing the powder from the second batch?
I'll grab the powder from the first batch, which is the ones that I already had, and then the other batch is probably up on a counter or a table somewhere in the room that I would need to get to where I was making it.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so you grab a handful of the dust. I don't remember. What you took 4 of them, I think.
You
split it, so each had 4. Okay. Okay, and you do what with it?
I'll just throw it towards the direction of the, I guess, towards the window where I'm, from where I was at.
Okay. Make a throw roll at half.
Awesome. Nope, that's a fail.
Okay. Yeah, you just, the powder just kind of poof into the air. And, you just threw a handful of powder into the air. Whatever,
All right.
No big deal.
And then I would move towards the door.
Okay. As you are moving towards the door, you can hear a sound coming from within the room with you. It's very clearly something is in the room with you. It's a strange kind of, tittering, bleeping, weird sound like nothing you've ever heard, but that's all you can hear. You don't hear or see anything else. Make a sand roll.
Oh, that's a success. 19.
1 point.
All right.
Okay, you're at the door.
Yeah, I'm at the door. And that sound is just coming from in the room. It's not like close to me.
You really can't tell.
Okay.
It's not like the room is that big.
I'm going to throw another handful of dust out behind me and then try and go out the door.
Okay. Throw roll at half.
Ot 4. That's a success.
Ooh. Okay. You can see the dust is, the kind of cloud of dust. Very clearly, kind of, there's something hanging in the air right in front of you. And the dust kind of, hits it and doesn't make the right kind of, cloud like you would expect. There's something there, but you can't tell what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And as you, kind of throw that, see that, turn to run through the door, you can feel something slap at your side, gouge into you, and knock you through the door out into the hallway. With a large gash in your side worth 5 points of damage.
Thank you, sir. Oh, jeez. 5 damage?
Yes.
All right. So I'm down to 11 out of 16.
And as you, as you're flying, you can see that whatever the thing, this invisible thing was, you can now just kind of barely see something that looks like it's got kind of a yellowish, orangish tinge in the air. Miss Brown, Professor Cromworth, what is your dex?
My dex is 11.
Okay. Dr. Worthington.
Yes.
Your go, sir.
So when you say there's like a yellowish reddish tinge, does that you mean it looks like the dust is doing something?
Something is doing something. Something has done something to cause it to become slightly visible.
Okay, I'll throw...
Very slightly visible.
Another batch of powder at it.
Okay. Since you can now kind of see this yellowish tinge hanging in the air, it's just a straight throw roll.
Come on. Ah, 2!
Okay.
Impale! Wow.
Yes, the powder very clearly hits the this yellowish whatever it is hanging in the air.
Yeah, and then I'll move away.
let's see, what do we got here? Professor Cromworth, you come out into the hall,
yep.
And you may make a sand roll.
99.
As you botch your sand roll, so that'll be a full 10 points.
Ouch. Okay, I'm going insane.
Would you care to make a no roll, sir?
Isn't it idea? Or is it no? I never get remember. 25, it makes either. I've got a 95 no, and I've got an 85 idea.
What would be good here? Make a D10.
D10.
Give me an idea. Give me some...
4.
Idea. Okay. No, that works. So you come out, you see Dr. Worthington throwing what look like clouds, look like handfuls of flour at some sort of yellowish, horrible something hanging in the air in front of him. And roll another d10.
8.
You find yourself babbling incoherently for the next 8 rounds.
I can't pull the trigger on my shotgun.
No, you can. You just are babbling incoherently the whole
apparently
time.
Yes. Okay.
You're just not gonna, you're not going to be, you know, discussing tactics with anyone.
I will just raise the shotgun and shoot.
Okay. Hopefully not shooting Dr. Worthington. Go ahead.
I'm always in the way of these bullets.
How close am I?
Down the hall a little ways.
So not with I've got a shotgun. I'll use both barrels. Why not? Okay. I got a 41, which is a success.
Okay. Damage?
Okay. It's a 12 gauge, so am I close enough for 46 for each?
I don't think so. Not quite.
Okay, so 2d6 for each barrel. So first barrel does 9 points of damage. Second barrel does 6 points of damage.
Okay.
So that's a total of 15.
Okay. Fair deal. You see the thing kind of jerk, and you know, you hear a kind of high-pitched keening noise. Are you Miss Brown? No. The thing, you know, you kind of see a yellow, oops. Ooh. You know, this kind of yellowish claw-looking thing. Stretch out and slash at Dr. Worthington again. Well, again, he's seen that once before. Which slashes him across the back for another 5 points of damage.
Oh, and so that's 10 points I've taken. So let's see, do I need to make any sort of fainting roll here?
What was your, how many hit points did you have before you took that last 5?
I had 11.
Okay, so you had 11, you took 5, so that's not half. It's half in one go. So
half
of whatever your current is.
Okay, all right, cool.
As long as you just, you know, lose less than half each time, you're totally fine right up till the moment that you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. all right, well.
Miss Brown.
Yeah. All right, well, I... You
come out into the hallway.
Come out into the hallway to make my sand roll.
Yes.
With a 29, which is a success.
Apparently, translucent yellow creatures slashing at doctors. Wow.
See it every day.
Yep, Professor Cromworth is blowing apart the hallway with a shotgun. Not a big deal. It's only worth one sand point.
All right.
And Professor Cromworth, of course, is just babbling off his rocker.
Well, that's usual. That doesn't, you know, I'm used to that. Is the thing out? We're obviously on the same floor of the hotel because we just came right outside. Are we also on the same side of the hallway? Is our room on the same side of the hallway as Cromworth's room?
I'll say yes.
Okay. Then I would like to run back in and run to my window and look down to the street to see if I can see anything of note.
Spot hidden roll.
That's a 22. That's a pass.
You can actually. You see someone standing, you know, kind of, you know, not directly under where you are, but off to the side a little ways, kind of maybe across the street a little bit. And in the street light, in the lamps of the street light, you could swear that he looks like the newspaperman who you were talking to at Gabriel Ward's house earlier.
Okay. And he seems to be looking up at the window?
Yes.
All right. That'll be my turn. Cool.
Dr. Worthington.
Oh, yes. Run away.
Okay. Fair enough.
Past the shotgun so that, you know, runs right towards its death.
Professor Cromworth.
Mr.
Worthington runs past you.
Can I reload one and take a shot?
I don't know. Can you? I would think it would take an entire round to reload.
Okay, then I'll back off and reload both.
Shotgun.
Right. It's a two, one or two, and I did both barrels last time.
Yeah, we're going to say it'll take you around to reload.
Okay, that's then I'll back off and reload.
Okay. As you do, and since you are now between the thing and Dr. Worthington, the thing swipes at you. And you, sir, may have 6 points of damage.
Okay, I'm down to 9.
And just to make things interesting, I'm going to say that interrupts your reloading as well.
Oh. Eh. Did I get at least one done?
Or dodge or something?
Yeah, you can. Okay. I'll let you dodge if you want to dodge.
I'll let me dodge? Yes. Oh, yeah, I'll dodge. Yeah, not great dodge, but I'll have a go. 16, that's a success.
Okay. So you are able to dodge out of its way, no problem. Miss Brown.
Are people in front of my door at this point, or what's sort of relative stuff going on here?
Yeah, Dr. Worthington and Professor Cromworth are backing past your door.
Okay. I will grab my purse and slam my door shut.
Okay.
And bolt it.
With you inside, I'm sure.
With me inside the room, yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Dr. Worthington.
I will, staying behind Professor Cromworth, I will pull my revolver out of my doctor bag.
Okay.
And I guess I'll ready it to shoot.
Okay. Professor Cromworth.
Okay. I'm going to head for my room and slam the door shut to give myself a chance to actually reload.
Okay.
Great.
Dr. Worthington.
Yes.
Would you care to dodge?
Yes, I would.
A chance to dodge if you want.
Oh, that's a fail by 14, 64 over 50.
Okay. As you feel, not what you felt before, but you can see this, you know, again, you can just kind of see a few yellowish outlines that, you know, seem to be getting darker, you know, kind of heading toward orange, towards the center of which, you know, are outlines that suggest possibly a large circular mouth with big sharp teeth that clamps onto your chest.
Amazing.
And you may have 3 points of damage.
Oh, and that's exactly half of my hit points right now.
And this thing is just clamped onto you. You can feel, you know, these invisible things wrapped around you, holding you close to it.
Now, provided I don't pass out on this con times 5 roll, I'm going to level my revolver right next to it, since it's right there, and shoot it.
That'll be next round.
Okay.
And go ahead, make your con roll.
Yeah. Ot 4. Success.
Okay. No problem there. Miss Brown, are you still cowering inside your room?
Do I have a keyhole? I mean, either a keyhole or a peephole or something I can look out?
I will say you do, just for added terror.
Is it right in front of my room?
You kind of have to get at an angle, but you can see, you know, Dr. Worthington struggling with this vague, translucent something that appears to be wrapped around him and just clamped onto his chest.
Since it's translucent, can he see the wound that it's making in my chest?
Probably, yes.
Okay, just had to clarify that for horror's sake.
Did they make it by my room? In other words, if I went out, could I get to Worthington's room?
Yes.
Okay. I will open my door and run to Worthington's room.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave you there. Dr. Worthington.
Okay. Revolver right to the side of its body. I guess, I don't know, I can't approximate a head or anything like that. Oh man, my lord. Fail.
You're 83 out of 75. You're at a point blank, which is double skill.
Oh, okay. So if that is the case, then I would succeed.
Yep. Probably as long as you don't malfunction. Okay.
Yeah, not a malfunction. So
damage?
3.
And you should get... Do you get 2 shots of the revolver?
Oh yeah, I do get 2. So... then that other one would be at the bottom of the round, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, Professor 3 damage Cromwell. For the first shot.
Okay.
Okay. Did I get to reload?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to come out of my door and shoot the creature.
You have no chance of shooting it without shooting Dr. Worthington as well, because it's wrapped around him.
Just get okay. in there.
Pull it off! Pull it off!
I'll try to hit it with the shotgun. Like, use it like a club.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, 0-1.
Ooh, nice.
Nice.
Roll some damage.
What's a club's damage?
Using a shotgun as a club in close quarters, we'll say it's a D4.
Okay, so D4, and I've got a D4 damage bonus.
Okay.
So that's 5 points of damage.
Okay, fair enough. As you hit it with the club, you can, the whatever this thing is that's slowly growing, less translucent, and you can recognize that it's glowing. It's growing less translucent because it's filling, not because it's necessarily not becoming, becoming visible, but just because it's sucking in all this blood from. Dr. Worthington, and that's actually what you're seeing, is you're seeing Dr. Worthington's blood inside the creature.
Great. I'm actually visualizing my death. Sweet.
But as you strike it with the shotgun, Professor Cromworth, you can feel, whatever this thing is it's hide, it's very tough, it's very solid. You gave it a pretty good whack, and you're pretty sure that it may not have actually done that much.
Sorry, Dr. Worthington.
Should have gone for the shotgun.
Speaking of Dr. Worthington.
Second shot?
No, not yet.
Oh, Lord.
You may lose another 3 hit points as the thing is sucking blood out of you.
I'm at 0.
Okay. You fall unconscious. Miss Brown.
I would like to grab this bowl off the counter that we saw Worthington making and run into the hall and toss its contents on this thing.
Okay. Are you going to run up to it and toss it, or are you going to toss it from a distance?
No, I'm going to dump it all over it, because it's all wrapped around him, so it seems like it's sort of there. So yeah, I'm going to dump it on it.
Yep. Okay. Make a roll just to make sure something stupid doesn't happen.
52.
You trip on the carpet and just scatter the dust all over the hallway. You run up, you just dump the whole thing.
Yep.
So all 16 doses on top of it, top of the creature. The instant you do that, you see it, disengage from Dr. Worthington. And, what you can see of it just starts flailing around. You can hear just this horrible, keening scream. And this thing is just flailing around. It knocks into you. It knocks Dr. Worthington to the ground. Make a dex roll, Miss Brown.
Okay. So that is a 16, and I have a dex of 9. So dex by 2.
It knocks into you and kind of knocks you against the wall, but you don't knocked down. And you can just see this, you know, it looks like it's just, you know, being eaten alive by acid. And you and Professor Cromworth can make a sand roll.
Oh, great. Fail.
52, just pass.
That's 0 for the pass and D3 for the fail.
D3, 2. By the way, I have taken 1/5. Oh, in this combat, I've taken 1/5 of my sand.
Ooh, nice. Make an idea roll.
0/1.
Oh, no, wait. You're already insane, aren't you?
I am
already, insane. Yes. Never mind.
Yes. You're fine.
Okay. You're protected.
Blah, 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 blah.
The armor of insanity. So the thing, you know, continues to scream and flail, and you know, eventually you just see it kind of drop to the floor. And
I still plan to empty the last two, my two shots into it as well,
and disappears. And there's just this kind of puddle of blood and goo and nasty, you know, Dr. Worthington juice on the floor. As Dr. Worthington has passed out. Next to
him. I would like to slap the professor and then try to first aid Worthington.
Okay. You slap the professor, first aid Worthington, go.
Oh, 8.
Nice.
D3?
3.
Nice.
3 hit points for Dr. Worthington as you come back around conscious.
Oh my god.
I take blood horrible. From the floor and I put it back in him.
early transfusion.
As the elevator comes open and one of the hotel guests, or one of the hotel, one of the bellboys comes up, what's going on up here? What? Oh my god, what's happened?
It was the vampire.
And Professor Cromworth, your insanity passes, so you're fine.
Okay, cool. The vampire. It came for us. Or came for our friend.
Oh my god, the vampire. I'm going to... He kind of looks around. And get the police. I'm going to get the police. And he
excellent. Runs, yeah, get the police. Out. Call the Times. I mean the Gazette.
Jim, can I, now that I'm up, attempt a first aid on myself?
Yes, you may.
And you can do it on each wound, right?
Correct.
Okay, so...
Oh,
Jim, I'm rushing to the window myself from my room and to have a look out.
Spot hidden roll?
56. What's my spot hidden? 55. I missed by 1.
Okay. The street is empty, but you know, you're still a little shaken, so you're not... You're seeing an empty street as just the, you know, the dawn light starts to crack and... But you're kind of shaken and are not really sure what it is that you're seeing or not seeing. With that, we will cut back to Major Barker, Mr. Harrow, and Mr. Krieg, washed up on an unknown shore.
And, Jim, just so you know, I succeeded on both of the first aids.
No problem. Then.
Thank you.
Well, Mayor, I think we gotta go towards those houses over there.
Yes. I assume. Well, out of character. I assume we're soaking wet and yes.
And cold.
We need to get somewhere and warm up and change our clothes. Let's head in the direction of those houses.
Okay.
That was quite an experience.
Yeah. After Shelburne. Not even surprised anymore.
So you make your way. It just takes a couple minutes. The things, you know, dropped you pretty close to this little fishing village, and you find yourself in a little fishing village. You know, this is just waking up. The fishermen are coming out. You know, getting ready to go out.
I have nothing on me. So do I actually have my wallet on me?
With
some wet money in it.
Yes, it's still, you know, lodged in your pocket.
I'll go up to some of the fishermen and ask them how far is it to Whitby?
Whitby? Well, that's, you know, they kind of look over you, look at you kind of odd. Did you sink or something? Have a little boating accident?
Something a bit like that, yeah.
Whitby. Not far, just a little ways down the coast.
Would we be able to charter your boat to take us back to Whitby?
Sure, I can do that for a few pounds.
Okay, I'll agree to his price and hop in.
Okay. It just takes him a couple, he's, like I say, getting ready to go out fishing for the day, and he's more than happy to earn a few extra pounds to take you down to Whitby. He does give you some hot coffee and blankets to kind of warm up.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes not too long. Maybe not more than an hour to get back to Whitby. And he drops the three of you off on the quay.
Thank you very much, sir. And we'll head back to the hotel.
Okay. As you get to the hotel, you find that the hotel is... there are police, coming and going, and there appears to have been a kerfuffle.
Oh, no.
Will they let us in?
As you come up to the hotel, they'll let you in.
Okay, good. Head up to our room.
Spot hidden roll.
Spot hidden, yes. Yes, 16.
You see your favorite newspaperman talking to the police.
Okay.
As you come in, you see him, he's just talking to the police. What's going on? What happened? What's the story?
Mayor, I will go and change. Keep an eye on him. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I will go. I'll go to my room and change very quickly.
I'm gonna do the same. I'm gonna. I think we need to. Yeah. I'm just gonna follow you. I'm not gonna stand here.
Mr. Harrell, then you say, Mr. Harrell, wet, cold.
As you guys make your way up to your rooms, you see that there's whatever the commotion was apparently happened here, because there's bloodstains on the floor, there's shotgun damage in the walls, there's police coming and going, the rooms of Dr. Worthington, Professor Cromworth, and Miss Brown, the doors are all standing open. The three of them are probably standing out in the hall talking to police officers. Dr. Worthington looks like a lot worse for wear. He's pretty well bandaged up and, kind of a little peaked looking. And Dr. Worthington, Professor Cromworth, and Miss Brown, you see Major Barker and Mr. Krieg.
Oh, heavens, you've returned.
Andy, it was, it's nothing, you see, just a vampire.
The took creature care of came
him quite quick.
A creature came for Dr. Worthington here.
And you knew who was right outside
and
the street when it came.
We know who sent it.
Yeah. That man Jenkins was standing in the street right when it came in.
Well, I assume... Are the police actually standing right there?
Yes.
Then I'm not...
Well, we'll catch up later. We need to change him and get on that journalist as soon as possible.
Yeah, what happened to
before
you
he goes
guys?
Away? That's a story.
We'll discuss that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go and get changed. Take out my service revolver and head on back downstairs.
The doctor can tell that I'm not crossing eyes with him.
What's the time, actually?
By the time that you get changed, you probably get you're gonna want a hot bath after the after your cold, wet night. You get changed and cleaned up, and the police finish with everyone else, and they kind of start to filter out. It's going to be, let's call it 7 a.m.
I sent word
I sent one of the hotel staff down to the dock to cancel our fishing expedition.
I'll talk to the professor before I go and change. Professor, we need to tail Jenkins.
I have a plan, everyone.
We need to what? To
gather everyone together and we'll have a little meeting in our room. Let's discuss what happened to us. So we'll explain that we were taken away. We made a deal with these things that we would find out who murdered Gabriel Ward, because he was one of them. And that our suspicion is that it's Tom Jenkins, and this is fairly well corroborated by his activity last night. He's trying to kill all the people on the list. Yes?
Yes, he is.
Well, we know an additional name on this list. Yes. Seth Gray.
Yes, yeah? In Oakville?
Where it was our plan all along to go and visit him. Well, if we somehow trick Tom Jenkins if we get him to know that we know where he is, he's going to follow us, or maybe we could even get him to take us there or something. But the point is, as soon as we get somewhere isolated, we beat him up, bundle him down to the coast, and call these things to take him away.
Well, can we just call these things and say he works at the Whitby Gazette and that's his office? Go.
I get the impression they wanted us to take him down to the coast.
Yeah, to the coast.
I don't think they can really wander about in the middle of town.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if they make city house calls.
I mean, they went into Ward's house, right, to get you guys.
That was
on the beach.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to do something about him, and he'll probably just follow us anyway, won't he?
But that sounds like a good idea. Like, get him to come with us. Say, like, hey, we have some updates on the story that we didn't share with you. We didn't think we could trust you until now. But
down at the waterfront.
Now we can trust you. So let's go check this out. Figure out a way for us to get to Ugthorpe quick, and we'll let you in on the story. You know?
Well, we could also call. You could call your frog friends first, and then we could just go with Jenkins down to the water.
Mm. We need to. Well, if he is trying to kill these people, then he's not. Well, is he going to want to come down to the water with us? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I mean, it seems if he's if we're offering him some new clues or some new something, then.
But
you know,
well, no,
he also did try to kill you last night.
Kill us. So we send him a message saying we will meet him at the docks.
Mm.
He then knows that we've survived.
Mm-hmm. He knows that we've survived anyway because he's talking to the police.
Exactly. So downstairs. He's downstairs now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. If we send him a message saying meet him at the docks, we will basically be there at the docks. Waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. With your frog friends?
How about if we approach this a bit more directly? We say we know what he's up to, but we pretend to bargain for our lives in return for giving up Seth Gray.
So if he comes to meet us at the docks, we can discuss the bargain. Meet us at the pub or something, at the Anchor.
Yeah. Maybe we can give him some false information. We don't need to actually tell him.
What if he knows already where Seth Gray is?
But then he's already dead. But this is our gambit, isn't it? Yeah, we would approach him directly and just
I don't know, I like the other idea better. the one of luring into.
But if he pretends not to know anything about what we're talking about, then I suppose we haven't really learnt anything. If he is interested in tracking down the Seth Gray, then we know that he is trying to kill these people on this list.
Yeah, I mean, we could have him just come with us to Ugthorpe and just judge his reactions the entire time. Either something hasn't happened to Seth Gray and he's fine, and we can judge his reactions that way, or if something has happened to him, we can judge his reactions that way. So,
thing is, he attacks.
I don't want to spend any more time with him than necessary.
He won't actually come with us because he's trying to kill us. Why would he travel with us?
That's my that was my reasoning behind saying we know you're trying to kill us. We don't want to be killed. Therefore, we'll give you this information if you leave us alone. If he then agrees to that bargain, we trick him, make him go to some abandoned house somewhere out on the coast. About that village that we washed up in? If we say Seth Gray's there, he then goes out there.
Why do you think he doesn't know where Seth Gray is?
Right.
Because remember the original list of names?
Yeah.
Seth Gray was the only one that wasn't crossed out.
Right, that's because he was the only one still alive.
Yep.
I was assuming that the person who made that list basically found out who was going to be killed, and that presumably Jenkins already knows who he's going to kill and where that person is.
Let's look at the. I need to look at the handouts again.
I don't think the list was a handout, unfortunately. I feel like we wrote stuff down.
Journal Elder 1 and Journal Elder 2. But the address of Seth Gray, which is, as far as we know, out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, there they are.
It was a bit harder to find. So it was as if Elder was trying to protect this information. That's what I assumed.
Well, yeah.
Possible.
Regardless of confronting Jenkins or not, we should definitely be on that bus to Ugthorpe.
And we should make some more powder if you have time. That stuff was great.
I can make the last batch. Jim, are you there?
Yep.
Can I make the last batch of the powder?
You may. What was your skill again?
Pharmacy, right? Pharmacy?
Yep.
35.
Okay. You mix up another batch.
All right.
In case it wasn't obvious, by the way, in your fight, you would, given what happened when Miss Brown dumped the second batch on the creature versus the
first batch that I was using.
The first batch, yes. The first batch was obviously a complete failure.
Yeah, yeah.
And she dumped all of the second batch. So the one that we know works has all gone.
Yes.
Yep.
That's wonderful.
So you're able to... You probably discard the rest of the first batch because it's completely useless.
Yes.
And now you have 16 doses of something that you have no idea whether it's...
Is there any residue
of this thing left? We go and sprinkle a little bit on and see what happens.
I was gonna say, since I've seen a good batch and a bad batch, is there any possibility that I can tell how this batch is?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't
think and so. The first batch was not completely useless. We should at least get a bag of flour,
right?
Because you were able to sort of see something, right?
Right.
Harris suggested we use paint.
Ooh, paint's good too. Yeah.
But. Paint's kind of heavy compared to flour. Flour's not as heavy as paint to carry around. Yeah, let me just carry around these buckets of paint.
Okay, how about we do it this way? What if we play completely dumb and we on the way out, we talk loudly. We say something like, Now that they're coming for us, you know, we fake a conversation between us. Now that they're coming for us, they're definitely going to be looking for Seth Gray. We need to get to some location out by the sea as soon as possible to make sure he's okay. That's going to...
I like that.
Maybe...
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, if Jenkins then follows us, we can ambush him.
Yeah, that's good.
Should we try that approach? Because we've still got a couple of hours before the bus.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got quite a few hours. So we choose like a little isolated shack somewhere on the coast.
All right, so...
Let's go. We'll go downstairs and say we need to warn Seth Gray now, just as we happen to be in earshot of Tom Jenkins.
And I can say it to Professor Cromworth, who's slightly hard of hearing, so I'll have to repeat myself a little more loudly after he says what.
He says, what? We're going to see Seth Gray to make sure he's okay.
Yeah. And he's in, what's the town that we're headed to for pretend? You don't know where you were, do you? We should pick a town.
Should we just look? Do we have like a sort of map of nearby? Well, we don't even need to say where it is. We just say we need to head there right now, and we walk somewhere out in an isolated direction. Once we're far enough away, we wait for Jenkins. Maybe we can already call the creatures.
I like
it. So he's probably following us. Yes, let's do that. Okay. We know where we washed up. I mean, it doesn't even need to be in that direction, does it? It's just we want to lure him towards the coast.
Yep.
Okay. Right. Shall we try that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
So, yeah, let's just head down and we'll work on a little fake speech. We're going to rehearse a little fake speech and then wheel it off as we go via Jenkins.
Okay, as you come down to the hotel, there's a lot of the hotel guests have gotten up early from the commotion. Breakfast is being served. The police have long since gone, and life appears to be normal.
Can we see Jenkins anywhere?
Nope.
Is he outside?
Nope.
I knew it. See, Mayor told you to keep an eye on him.
Well, where's Harrow? Is Harrow seeing where he's gone?
Poor, wet, shivering Harrow.
No, he's with you. He got bored after a few minutes and wanted to get a change of clothes and a warm bath as well.
And a shot.
Okay, now we need to change the plan. I would say let's break into his house.
Well, do we know where he lives?
We need to find out.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find that out if we need to.
We just need to try to ask around.
I want to ask Harrow, when he was following him, where did he go? Because he
tells you that he went into the... a block of flats opposite the Gabriel Ward Elder's house.
Yeah,
He was in there for 10 or 15 minutes. Then he came out. Then he went to the newspaper offices. Then he was in there for a while. Then he came out, and then that's when he went and saw you at the hotel while you were trying to rent your car yesterday.
And that flat, as far as we know, is not one of the murder houses.
It is. It's across from it.
Across the road.
Well, he could have been. That might be where he lives, because
he could have been asking about to get information, but he already knows who's doing the killing.
Right, but we could also check his office if we can make sure that he's out of his office too.
Was that so? That block of flats, they were sort of residential little apartments.
Yes.
Well, what if he specifically chose one of those so he could spy on Elder?
Yeah.
If you're saying was it literally directly opposite Elder's?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, let me call the operator and see if I can get an address for him.
Okay.
It's worth a try.
The operator will give you an address for Jenkins, and the address is... the address is such that it is on Prospect Hill. which is the street that Elliot Elder's house was on.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Let's go there.
Yeah.
At the very least, even if he's not there, and if he's there, we can deal with him. If he's not there, then we can search the place and maybe get some evidence.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's probably sleepy also.
Yeah, well.
He's had a busy night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we head out, we need to be on the lookout for him, because if he's following us, then this is going to get confusing quickly, so.
Go out in circles for a while.
Yeah. Let's head to Prospect Hill. Let's do that.
Okay.
And see if we think we're being followed.
Spot Hiddens?
12, yes.
Success. 37, success.
Yeah, you're pretty sure there's no one following you.
Okay. Let's head into this block of flats and wherever see if there's like a...
He might live in a house, right? Yeah. I don't know if it was a...
No, it was a block of flats. I seem to remember. So,
right, but that's what he went into. But I didn't. Is that the same as the address that we just got from the operator?
As you get there, you find out that yes, it is.
Okay.
And Mr. Harrow makes a comment about, I didn't realize he lived here. I assumed he was just questioning the neighbors.
Yeah, that's what he said at the time, but it didn't make sense. Okay, can we see, is there anyone, I don't know, are there any sort of post boxes with, you know, names on them?
Names and corresponding flat numbers? Yes.
Ah, is there a Jenkins?
There is.
Let's head to that apartment.
Okay, that apartment would be up on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So you go up the stairs and there's a door.
Can we hear anything on the inside?
Listen rolls.
91, no.
Fail, 47.
Nope.
Hear anything?
Does anyone know how to unlock a door?
Yes.
No. I could. No, I definitely don't.
I can give it a shot here. Let me try it first. Is the door locked?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to keep an eye out to make sure that, no one looks past at an inopportune moment.
I'm at an 04. Check that skill.
Did I say the door was locked? I meant the door was not locked.
Yeah, it's not locked. Come on, guys.
I'm going to draw my revolver as we head on in.
I will as well.
Give me some powder.
You want some powder? All right, everyone can have some powder.
Excellent. I can go for just a little bit longer. It's 3:30.
Okay. Yes, it is. Okay, just a second. Give me a second. We'll just do the apartment, and then we'll... Probably won't take too long. Just find...
Sorry to be a stickler about time and everything, guys.
No worries.
Understandable.
I have a 4-year-old who likes to get up at 6:30.
There isn't a get up.
Okay. So you find yourselves in a small flat. Bathroom, bedroom, kitchen, dining room. And there you are.
There's no one here at the moment.
It appears to be empty.
Okay.
Let's do a quick search.
Search the place for diaries, journals.
And let's split up. Why don't we have a
crazy, creepy murder stalker board? You know, I'm imagining some kind of.
I'm gonna head into the bedroom and start my search in the bedroom. Why don't we split up and look in different rooms, and then we can swap over?
Okay.
Yeah, I want to do a clean sweep. Clean sweep the whole thing myself. But
to make sure there's nobody here in any of the rooms.
Well, you very quickly deduce that there's no one there. This place is not that big. As you search through the bedroom, it's a small bedroom. There's a bed. There's a wardrobe. Inside the wardrobe, there is only one change of clothes.
Hmm.
As you dig through the kitchen, the kitchen is completely empty. The cupboards are empty. There's no food. There's no dishes. There's no nothing.
Hmm.
In the living room, there's just a few pieces of furniture that look like they have been there for a very long time. They are very well worn. But there's no photographs, personal effects, anything like that. There is a sideboard with a couple drawers in it, and in the drawers you find what looks like a journal of sorts.
Excellent.
As you kind of page through the journal towards the end of it, it's actually not very long. There's only a few pages, but you do find a number of names that you recognize as being
victims.
You find the names Jake Pearson, Alex Ward, Michael Green, Stephen Mason, Gabriel Ward. All with X's next to their names.
Okay.
Jeez.
But Seth...
Seth Gray on the list?
No, there is no mention of a Seth Gray.
You know, that's what I was thinking. Probably he doesn't know of Seth Gray.
Right.
That's what he hasn't killed so far.
That's good. In the same drawer as the journal, there is also a set of handwritten loose pages. They appear to have been torn from a book. You can make either a mythos or a library use roll.
Library use, working on me.
21 success.
I make my mythos roll.
I pass.
I made my library use roll.
Ooh, I passed the mythos, I think.
I made my mythos roll with a... Okay. 12.
those of you who passed the library use roll can tell that it was, taken from a very old book. It appears to be, 16th, 17th century, something like that. Those of you who passed your mythos roll somehow recognize that these pages were torn from a 17th century book entitled The Book of Devil's Lore by a Theophilus Wren. And the pages are titled True Magic, Call for Spirit of the Air.
That would be the creature.
And there's in addition to the handwritten pages, there's some handwritten notes on those pages as well.
Okay. This is rather definitive.
Yeah.
He is definitely the one.
Let's take these. It's too dangerous to leave this. Okay. We need to... I take it is that a fairly comprehensive search of this place?
That would be a comprehensive search of the apartment, and I think a good place to end it for the day.
All right. Okay.
Well, we're no longer being potentially tortured to death by sea creatures, so that's an improvement.
Yeah.
Just almost killed by air creatures.
So no one actually died. Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Hey,
came close.
Came very close.
That adds a little suspense to it all.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was really fun. this episode.
I'm not going to have any regrets throwing this Jenkins to the
frogs.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, guys.
Thank you for a fun night, and I'll catch
you guys later.
Yeah, thanks again, Jim.
Take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good week, Al.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye.